All Israel shall see, all Israel shall hear. Turn to Matthew 13. This is a whole chapter of parables taught by Jesus Christ, and when he finished the first one, he said in verse 9, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Then the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." So here Jesus was preaching to people that would not know what he was talking about, and he knew it. He says further in verse 13, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive." In other words, these people had to listen to the teachings of Jesus Christ and not understand it in order that the prophecies would be fulfilled. For this people's heart is waxed dross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men, to see those things ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." And then he goes right on to teach another parable, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Now we know from reading all of this that when he said they did not hear, he meant they did not understand. They heard the words, but the term hearing is used to mean that they will actually physically hear the words, but their mind would not grasp the teaching. And then he goes on and preaches or teaches two more parables, and then says way down in verse 43, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father," and ends that parable, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So we have somewhat of a dilemma here. Jesus said, you can hear and understand, they can't hear and understand, so he keeps on teaching and says, whoever can understand, go ahead and understand. It almost seems as if God has preached his word and is giving his word out and just leaving it go. If they can't understand, well, that's fine. If they do, that's fine. As if there is no plan and no purpose of God in the people hearing and understanding. Now, Jesus used this phrase, "who have ears hear," of time. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 14. "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember?" In other words, he told them something, they completely misunderstood it, and he asked them, "Don't you understand? Don't your ears hear what I'm saying, and your eyes understand? When I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments pick ye up?" They say unto him, 12. "And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments pick ye up?" And they said, 7. And he said unto them, "How is it that ye do not understand?" And then he did not explain. So here are the disciples. Jesus has taught again, said something. They didn't understand. He just asked them, "How come you don't understand?" And he goes on about something else. Didn't explain it. Of course, he had partially explained it in Matthew 16, which is either a story of the same thing or a similar thing. This one is a little more complete. Matthew 16, starting in verse 5. "And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread." So here is the same thing happening, or as I say, a little different one happening at a different time, but again, they misunderstood what he said. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, but ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood. Now in this case, they did. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now this is understandable to them, because we already have had told of them what was the effect of the leaven of the Pharisees, and that's in Matthew 15. And I think in here, of course, is the clue, really, as we will see later, why some of the Israel people hear and understand, why some of them do not hear and understand, and how eventually all Israel shall see and shall hear and shall understand. Matthew 15, starting verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Then he rebuked them further, ending in the last half of verse 6, Thus, in other words, by their tradition, thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. In other words, it is false doctrine taught by the scribes and Pharisees, identified by Jesus here as the leaven of the Pharisees, which prevents God's word from being understood by the Israel people. He said to them, You have made the word of God of none effect. Now this sounds as if God has lost his power. This sounds as if the word of God has no power, but this is the word of God that says the teachings of the elders destroys the effect of the word of God. Now, we've already seen that he spoke to these people, and he says their eyes are blind, their ears are deaf, and so on. And then later, over in John 10, after we hear Jesus' own teaching, that some cannot hear and understand, some cannot see and know what is being taught in God's word, we see this strange statement by Jesus, John 10, starting in verse 3. This is another parable, of course. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And this is speaking, obviously, of Jesus. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Then he explained this parable, as he did others, to the disciples. And in his explanation, in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Verse 16, And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And then this amazing passage in verse 27 through verse 30, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now this is the same Jesus who had previously told the Pharisees that their doctrine, their teaching, destroyed the effect of God's word. He turns right around and he tells the disciples, My sheep hear my voice, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. This seems to be contradictory, doesn't it? He says, I teach you people you can't hear because you're blind, your eyes are closed, you are affected by the leaven of the Pharisees, the false doctrines of the Pharisees, so you can't hear my word. He turns right around and says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, you'd almost think that if both of these are true, or if Jesus believed both of them, there's something wrong with the mind of God, because these are contradictory on the face of them. Now, let's turn over to Matthew 1. But before we read that, I want to state this, that for this Bible study, I'm going to have to assume that you all know that the Israel people are God's sheep. I don't have time to prove to you that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, and kindred peoples are the sheep of God. I'm going to assume that you know that, and we're going to find out, God willing, how in the world both of these things can be true, where the leaven of the Pharisees, the traditions of men, destroy the word of God so Israel cannot hear, and it can also be true that God says Israel will hear, and I will give them eternal life, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. This is about the birth of Jesus. Gives some reason why he came, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, which means salvation, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now there must be something of significance in these specific prophecies which Jesus came to fulfill. And we're going to follow through a little bit on this one in verse 23. Verse 22, it says, This is that which was spoken by the prophet, that a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that's in Isaiah chapter 7. Now at this time, when this prophecy was given, this was Judah under King Ahaz, and Israel and Judah had been separated, and they had had the prophecy to them that they would be taken out of the old land, that they would be destroyed as a nation and as a people for their sins against the God of Israel. Then starting in verse 10 of Isaiah 7, Moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying, in other words, the king of Judah, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. In other words, he asked the king of Judah if he would ask for a sign for their salvation, their deliverance. And the king said, No, I won't. God says, All right, I'll give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which we have seen from Matthew is interpreted, God with us. The name of Jesus would mean, or Emmanuel would mean, God with Israel. We also saw in Matthew 1 that he was to be named Jesus, which means Savior. So Jesus Christ would have come, according to Matthew, to fulfill Israel saved from their sins, and Israel God with them. This same Jesus turned right around a few years later and told the Israel people that your eyes are blind, your ears are deaf, you can't hear me. And a few months later, he turned around and told the disciples that Israel would hear, and Israel would see, and his sheep would know his voice and follow him. Let's read a few more prophecies in Isaiah, since Matthew saw fit to quote Isaiah about the birth of the Savior and God with Israel. Turn to Isaiah 9. In verse 6, I read this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this." And he goes on with more prophecies for the Israel people all through Isaiah. Turn over to Isaiah 25, starting in verse 6. "And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy," or as the margin says, "swallow up, he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations." In other words, there was something which was hiding the people from God and from God's knowledge. But he was going to destroy that covering, that veil that was cast over all nations. "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it." So here is, in this same prophet, a tremendous prophecy that God will actually open up the eyes and open up the ears of all of the Israel people, even to the extent of swallowing up death in victory. This must mean, of course, the resurrection from the dead. Then he goes on in the next chapter, chapter 26, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." Verse 8, "Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Here is just one of scores of prophecies in the Old Testament of the old prophet, centuries before Christ came, that all of the earth would come under the sway and rule of God. The same God who came in the form of Jesus and told these people that some of them couldn't even hear or see what he said. In Isaiah 29, I'll have to skip many of these for time. Isaiah 29, starting verse 7, "And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition, and that distress her, shall be as a beam of a night vision. It shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awakeneth, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall," in other words, just like that, "so shall the multitude of all nations be that fight against Mount Zion." This is obviously a prophecy of the end of the age battle. This must be the last time when all the nations fight against Zion and God destroys all of them. Then he follows it with this long passage, starting in verse 9. "Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered." So here God Almighty says, "I have given you blind eyes and deaf ears that you cannot hear. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed." In other words, he actually has the word of God right in front of him, and he says, "I can't read it, it's sealed." "And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Therefore the Lord said, Forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Now this must be Israel he's speaking to, and he says, I have given them the spirit of deep sleep. This must be why Jesus, when he came to Israel and told the disciples, these people cannot hear, their eyes are closed, they cannot see, and their ears are stopped. Because back here in the prophecies, he said, because you come near me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me, I will give you the spirit of sleep. I will prevent you from hearing my word. Now, he also goes on in verse 15 and 16, Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as potter's clay. He's accusing Israel of turning the whole thing upside down. They have refused to hear him, therefore God shuts their ears. But this is going to be esteemed as potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not? Or shall the thing framed say to him that framed it, He had no understanding? In other words, is it possible for the people to actually defy God and bring God's work to naught? And he's saying, no, it's going to be just like the potter's clay. I will do what I will do, regardless of what you people of Israel think or want. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed before us? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. In other words, there was a day coming when God would make Israel fruitful, and in that day the eyes that were blinded by God and the ears that were made deaf by God would see and would hear, regardless of whether they wanted to or not. We were reading this morning in Job, and we got some idea there of the sovereignty of God, that God has the power to cause Israel to see and to hear as He desires, regardless of what they might think or want to do. In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For, and listen to this, for the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Remember what Jesus said? The leaven of the Pharisees, the doctrines, the traditions of the Pharisees, brought God's word to naught. He says there is a day coming when Israel will hear, and Israel will see, for the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed. In other words, those people, that entity, that teaching, which has caused Israel not to hear and not to see, will be destroyed and brought to an end. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale, but when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. Now I believe those verses mean, literally, that when Israel finally sees what God has done among their people, then they will hear the word of the Lord. Now that's why I emphasize as much as I do, and the ministers I associate with emphasize the necessity of Israel knowing they are Israel. It is literally true that at this stage Israel can neither see nor hear nor understand the word of God until Israel knows they are Israel. He says here, when they seeth his children, the work of mine hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name. I believe when the Israel people, true Israel, begins to see the great and mighty work that God has done in Israel. He has multiplied us as the sands of the sea and as the stars of heaven. He has given us the best lands on earth. He has protected us in our sin and iniquity all down through the ages. He has corrected us. He has built us up. He has fulfilled the promises to Abraham. And our people don't know that. They don't see that. And yet when they begin to see that, apparently then they will sanctify his name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel. And then he says this, they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. You mean they're not going to be put in hell and burned in fire forever and ever? I guess not. He said those that erred will learn and will be corrected, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. Chapter 30, verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Or as the margin says, the latter day. This is a prophecy about Israel in the latter day. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. And that's about what we have today. Our people do not want to hear the truth of God. They want to hear smooth things. They say, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Teach those things that keep us from learning about the God of Israel. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, and we do as a people, we stay with the ways of Egypt. We stay with the ways of Babylon. We trust with that in its perverseness and falseness and robbery, and yet we hold on to it. And he says, because you do that, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. What is going to be broken suddenly? Israel? No. Israel's perverseness. Israel's refusal to hear. Israel's iniquity. He said, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall. And then suddenly, in an instant, God will break the iniquity of Israel, and Israel shall hear and fear the Lord. Verse 26, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people, and healeth the stroke of their wound. There is coming a day when this blindness, this of the Israel people is going to be broken suddenly in an instant. Now, I know some of us can get very discouraged as the years go by, and it seems as if we cannot awaken these people who are asleep. But let's remember, God said they don't want to hear, therefore I put them to sleep. They didn't want to see, therefore I blinded their eyes. They didn't want to hear, therefore I made their ears deaf, but I'm going to let that iniquity go so far, and then it's going to come out just like the swelling of a breach ready to fall, and then I will break it as the breaking of a potter's vessel. In the verse just before that, verse 26, he said, and there shall be upon every high mountain, we know that mountain means nation and prophet, and upon every high hill, rivers and streams of waters. When? In the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. I believe these two things are going to happen at the same time. In the day of the great slaughter of the enemies of God's people, God will pour out streams of water, rivers, and water stands for what? The Word and God's Spirit. At the very time when he destroys the enemies of Israel, these people whom God has allowed to blind us with their false teachings, they will be destroyed, their teachings will come to an end, and God will pour out His Word and His Spirit upon the Israel people in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of His people and healeth the stroke of their womb. Let's go on to Isaiah 32. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of waters in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. Here is another prophecy. I believe that all Israel, even those who were blinded, even those whose ears could not hear, will see and hear. He prophesies here in the next verses of a time of trouble in Israel. And then in verse 9, rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, and the gathering shall not come. There will be a time, years will go by. We know it's already been centuries, before this final gathering of the harvest of all Israel. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you, and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars. And we know, in prophecy again, thorns and briars is a reference to non-Israelite people, that God allows them to come in and take over and bring judgment through His hand upon the Israel people. Thorns and briars would come upon the land of Israel. Yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. This is another one of the promises after promise, that God will allow the iniquity of the Israel people to go so far and then no further, that it would happen at the end of the age, that He would bring judgment and correction and open their eyes and their ears. Isaiah 33, in verse 20, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnity. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be under us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass by. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, He will save us. Thy tackings are loose, they will not well strengthen their mast, they could not spread the sail, then is the prey of a great spoil divided, the lame take prey, and the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Isn't that wonderful? God says in Zion, even though Israel has been in sin and iniquity all down through the ages, with blind eyes and deaf ears, that in this place called Zion, when God brings His judgment upon it, the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Now they have to hear, they have to repent in order to forgive their iniquity, right? And that means that Israel will, of necessity, hear. Now, none of these promises make any sense at all if we believe that out of all of Israel, God will only save a handful of people. If the fundamental center doctrine is true, that 95% or more, they can't give you percentages, but by implication they do, of all of the people who are born and died in our race are gone into a hell to burn with fire forever and ever, where in the world does that leave us with these great and precious promises that God has given to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? God tells us we would be sinners. He tells us that he would even blind our eyes because of our sin. And he turns right around and says, I'll open their eyes, I'll open their deaf ears, I will save them from the grave, I will forgive their iniquity. Now we deny all of that as we turn around and accept the false doctrines of the Pharisees. Here are a few of the phrases we have read. I want to just repeat them in both the Old and the New Testament. He shall save his people from their sins. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man can pluck them from my hand. We have waited for him. He will save us. He will swallow up death in victory. They that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. In spite of the deaf ears, in spite of the people who seem to not hear today, God says there's coming a time when they will hear, and they will learn, and he will forgive their iniquity. The Lord bindeth up the breach of his people, and healeth the stroke of their wound. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Yes, I know, it breaks your heart when you think of the millions upon millions of Israelites in this age whose eyes have been blinded because they have turned to the leaven of the Pharisees. They have believed Jewish fables, and they seem not to understand God's word. And on top of that, they are told, if you don't understand or if you don't believe this or that or something else, you're going someplace and God's going to torture you forever and ever in fire. God help us to preach the truth that God has saved Israel. If Jesus' blood sufficed for me, it sufficed for you. If it sufficed for 1,000, it sufficed for 100 million. Why do we worry and concern ourselves if God says Israel is saved, Israel will be resurrected, Israel will hear, Israel will understand, let us believe it. Let's not look at the things of this earth as they seem to be from our physical eyes. Turn to Isaiah 44. Verse 21 and 22. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Yes, we forget God, but God does not forget Israel. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. May God give us the power and the strength to believe this and to teach it to our people. If you read the New Testament, you will actually see that the theme of the New Testament over and over is, Jesus has saved us, therefore turn from your sins. And it is all addressed to the children of Israel. Turn to Acts 4, starting in verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So, when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. Now, both things that I believe they glorified God here for were that these people had defied men to preach God, and also what they had been teaching, that Jesus had come and had saved the house of Israel. And this is what the Pharisees, of course, wanted them to discontinue preaching. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? And of course they quoted the scripture, and what did these people do when they were told not to preach God's word? They turned right around and they preached God's word, period. Now there is a possibility that we will come into that time when they will not hear, they will even turn against us, they will tell us to quit preaching. And you know, and I know, that some of our Israel people actually rebuke us for preaching God's truth, for preaching that Jesus died for the salvation, the redemption, and the resurrection of the Israel people into an eternal kingdom. They rebuke us for that. They even come and threaten them. And what did the people do? Well, in the early church, they glorified God and went right on preaching. And that's what we ought to do. Turn to Matthew 13, and we'll close in there. This is the parable of the tares and the wheat. We read part of it. Let's read a few of the verses there, starting in verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. Out of the kingdom of God on earth they'll be gathered, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In other words, these tares, these children of the devil, will be gathered out of the kingdom. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who have ears to hear, let him hear. What is Christ teaching? Christ is teaching that the day would come when Jesus would send forth his angels and gather out the enemies of Christ and the enemies of the Israel people out of his kingdom. And then when that takes place, and I believe it includes the resurrection from the dead, then shall the righteous shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. Now, they're not righteous in themselves, we know that. We know this is the restitution. When Jesus returns, when he shouts, and his voice is heard by all that are in the graves, the Israel people who have died in ages past will hear the voice of the Lord. Now, when Jesus said they couldn't hear, they were blind, they couldn't see, he was saying nothing more than we read in the Old Testament, that there would be an age and a time when most of Israel would not hear the word of God. But that time would end, and Jesus would bring restitution, would bring sight, would open the deaf ears and open the blind eyes of the Israel people. So let's not be discouraged that we think, well, I've been preaching for a long time and no one hears me. Jesus Christ said they would not hear. But in a day and an age to come, he would end that. He would stop it. He would break their iniquity, and all Israel would hear and fear the great God of Israel. So let's look for that day, and let's preach as the early disciples did in spite of anything that's against us. Let's preach the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ ruling over the children of Israel on a restored earth. Praise you, the Lord. Let's sing. Our Father and our God, we thank you that your word has given us a more sure promise and those things that we might see and hear with our own senses. Father, we pray that you'll strengthen each one here, that you'll give us of thy Spirit and thy word as I have promised to pour out upon Israel people. And we pray that we shall each be thy sons and daughters and witnesses to thee till kingdom come in Jesus' name. Amen.